Der Energy Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
Hallöchen, Vivi hier und ich muss sagen, diesmal war ich so unfassbar aufgeregt vor dem Interview, weil wann hat man schon mal so einen Weltstar wie James Arthur vor sich stehen, ja? Ist aber ganz schnell abgefallen, die Aufregung, weil ich dann gemerkt habe, der ist super sympathisch, wir haben uns ganz schnell eingegroovt und dann ging es ganz viel darum, wie es ist, Papa zu sein. Er ist nämlich letztes Jahr Vater geworden. Dann natürlich, wie er diesen Spagat zwischen der Vaterrolle und seiner Musik hinbekommt, denn er ist gerade unglaublich fleißig. Ganz neu rausgekommen sein neuer Song Blindside, über den wir natürlich auch gesprochen haben. Und das ist alles nur der Anfang. Was uns dieses und vor allem auch nächstes Jahr von James Arthur erwartet, das hört ihr in der neuen StarTalk-Folge. Viel Spaß! Welcome! James Arthur, the one and only, is here with me today. James, how is life for you now? Is it exciting? What do you do?
Oh yeah, life's very exciting. What do? Well, actually not that much other than be a musician, really. I do a lot of writing and a lot of making music type content. Yeah, like I'm really just immersed in being an artist most of the time. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, that's it. That's really, it's pretty boring, really. There's not much else other than music for me in life. Yeah.
Okay. But I just heard that you are a father now.
Well, yeah, exactly. Apart from that, apart from changing diapers and being thrown up on, it's mostly music. Music and being a dad is kind of my life, which is good, fine with me.
Yeah.
It's good with me.
Is it hard for you, like, Your daughter, it is a daughter, right?
Yeah.
She was born last year.
Yeah.
Is it hard for you to like put your career and being a father together now because it's so fresh?
Yeah. Well, I've been quite lucky that it happened at a time when touring wasn't really on the cards. Like next year, I'll be doing a lot of touring, but I've been able to spend the first year of her life at home mostly.
Perfect.
And I've got a studio set up in my house, so I can kind of juggle the two. Next year will maybe be more of a challenge because I'll be traveling around the world, but thankfully that like really strong attachment bond has been made. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully it won't be too difficult to be, you know, involved regularly. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe when she's older you can bring her to her shows and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I'll be bringing her to any show that's you know, anywhere that's safe to bring her, I'll be taking her.
Yeah. So I would love to start talking about your tattoos.
Okay.
So now we can't see them so much because you wear a jacket, but you have a lot of tattoos. And yeah. I really like tattooed styled persons.
Yeah.
So can you tell how many you have or is it way too much now?
Do you know what? I've been asked this before and I promised that I would go and count them after that. And then I forgot to do it. But I basically have a lot of tattoos. I've got my whole right leg's tattooed. My whole back is tattooed. I've got a few on my stomach, my chest, and I did have one on my neck. My hands are tattooed. My arms, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I did one on my neck, but I had it removed. Don't ever have being tattooed is way less painful than having it removed. So
really,
I would just my advice to anyone who's thinking about getting tattoos is like really think about it because if you regret it like I did.
Which one was it? Like, what was on your neck?
It was like a big owl, and it wasn't a bad tattoo. It was just a couple of years after I got it, I was like, I don't know if I really wanted to have like such a big intense tattoo on my neck because I wanted to start acting and stuff like that, and it felt like maybe I would get typecasted if I had tattoos above the neck. Do you know what I mean? But I've got one on my face as well, so I mean, not that you can really see it that much, but I suppose it doesn't really matter. People are still gonna see me as a tattooed guy, and maybe tattoos are more represented in movies now anyway, so maybe I didn't need to go through all that pain after all, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, we talked about the tattoos you didn't like, but what is maybe your most favorite tattoo you have?
My favorite one would probably be, just because it's representative of my daughter, it says Emily there. So yeah, probably that. It's a simple one, but it means the most, obviously.
Obviously, yeah. And you will never remove it because Emily will always be your daughter, right?
Yeah, that's staying for life.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with your music career. So it basically started in 2012, where you won an X Factor show.
Yeah.
And it's over 10 years ago. Does it feel like that? Because it's basically a long time now, I think.
It is. It's a really long time. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, yeah, 10 years has flown by in many ways for me, but also when I really reflect on all the things that I've done and all the things I've been through, it does feel like a lifetime ago. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. People still ask about it so much, and it's such a defining moment in my career. Obviously, I was a musician and a touring musician like long before X Factor, and I was in bands and you know, from a very young age. So for me, it doesn't feel like that was really the beginning of my journey. But the moment that I was catapulted into another stratosphere of like notoriety, I suppose. It feels like yesterday, and but also it feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, okay, I understand. So I think a lot of things changed for you in your life since then.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of musicians or artists, they take like casting shows for a good start to get in a career. Yeah. But I think it's also quite hard like to be in the spotlight from now on and stuff. Do you have like maybe some advices you would give
for people that want to go on a casting show? I think I was lucky in the sense that when I decided that I was going to go through that process, that those kind of shows had a lot of power and were giving birth to big artists and bands like in One Direction and Kelly Clarkson, I guess, or Ollie Murs, or there's loads, you know, there's loads of people that came through those shows in the early days. But then I think slowly but surely, as the record labels stopped being involved in the shows and weren't offering deals after those shows, I think that it was less big stars were being created through those shows. So what I would say is obviously it's a great platform to showcase your talent, and you're going to pick up a bunch of social media followers probably, but it's you know, I suppose it's a choice you've got to make whether or not it's something that you want to do, and if you want to be exposed in that way, or if you want to develop slowly. For me, I was 23, 24 when I did X Factor, and I knew who I was as an artist, and I knew I wasn't going to let anybody mold me into anything. Okay. And I think that was important for me, because I think many people do go into those things not knowing who they are, and then they end up letting people like influence what sort of art they're going to make and stuff like that. And I think that's why I managed to last for a long time, because I really just used that as a platform to showcase who I was.
You know? Yeah. Do you think you kept that? Like you just stayed yourself over all of the years?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously it's impossible not to make compromises and not to let outside influences, conflict the things that you want to do at times, because you know there's a lot of people, a lot of chefs in the kitchen when you sign to a major label and stuff. But I think the core of who I am, I've managed to maintain, and I've got it. If ever I have lost it, I've managed to get it back, I think.
All right. So, yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Speaking about that, or speaking about you and your character or person, I just wanted to say I love how brave you are with your mental illnesses, and that you go out and tell people about it. And I think it's really, really important what you do, and a few of stars do as well. Now, but it wasn't a theme for years, right?
I'm really happy that I could have been some small part in that movement of people in the public eye using their platforms to speak out about mental health. I've got a lot of experience with it, because I've suffered myself for a long time throughout my life and gone through trauma and depression and those kinds of things, and it's always going to be a battle for me, and I think it's important for me to share that with people, because it might help people, and that's ultimately the goal, is to use my voice for good and for change and to help people. So yeah, that's for me is just something that I have a duty to do, rather than something that I think is, you know, I should be patted on the back for. I think it should be normal. It should be normalized for people to talk about these things.
Yeah, absolutely. So. But it's still not. That's the problem.
That's the problem. Yeah, yeah, that's the problem. Hopefully it'll get better.
I hope so too. So you've done a lot of very successful songs. Like Say You Won't Let Go is one of the most successful songs I think you made. Mm. And like most of your songs are very, very emotional, very deep, meaningful. Mm. And what inspires you to make your songs? Is it also like what you've been through most of the times?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's life. And I think it's for me, what motivates me is like making people feel something, like whether they cry or feel happy. I really am motivated by the thought that I could move someone with my music or help someone with my music. Like I said before, any pain that I've been through in my life, thankfully I'm able to tap into that and use it to paint these pictures and make these songs. I'm grateful that I have that skill. And in answer to your question, it's just that, it's life. It's just storytelling and hopefully it can act as some kind of like medicine for people when they listen to it.
I mean, like now I think your daughter will inspire you as well, right? Writing songs.
I mean, yeah, that goes without saying. Yeah, she's when I was to speak about love and things like that in songs now, yeah, I can definitely draw upon that, you know, because I'm obviously madly in love with my daughter, and so I'll never struggle to have that in my heart and be able to put it in songs, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have no children, but so I can't imagine what the love is like. I mean, it's a different love than loving your partner or whatever, right?
Yeah, it's different. It's different. Yeah, it's almost a scary love, because you just like, it's like a piece of you is just walking around in the world and you just like want to, you know, protect them. And it's different. Yeah, it's hard to explain. It's kind of like an out of body experience.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, amazing journey.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to just seeing how it all kind of, you know, plays out.
Yeah. And we all are very looking forward for your new song. It's called Blindside.
Yeah.
I just heard it. And let's talk about the song. I don't want to say too much before you say something about it. So what is the song about? Why did you wrote it?
Well, I mean, it's no big secret that I like to, it's no big secret that I like to write like heartbreak songs. You know, I enjoy doing that. And, but yeah, it's a different sort of take on a heartbreak song. It's like it's upbeat and it's, you can dance to it. And Blindside was just a phrase that I started singing when the track was playing, when we were playing the guitar chords and stuff. I kept singing "You Caught Me on My Blind Side." I didn't really know why. It just came to me, and then I kind of wrote the song around that phrase. And The story of the song, or the message in the song, is like, you know, if sometimes love, sometimes you fall in love when you least expect it, and it can be the right person at the wrong time. And so you just have to settle for loving the ghost of them rather than actually being able to have them. And that's kind of it, really. That's the essence of it. It's why do we love the ones that we lose? That's that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So as you said, it's more... The song is more with a upbeat. It's faster than songs I know from you, actually.
Yeah.
And it's more like a pop song, would say, like in this direction.
Uh-huh.
So why did you decide to like change your music a bit?
Well, it wasn't a conscious decision. I'm always looking at a body of work. Like I always go into the album making process with a view to making an album. You know, that's kind of, I want to take people on a journey. I don't decide what the singles are until the whole thing's done. Mm-hmm. And in a way, like my record label decided that this up-tempo song within this body of work feels like the right song to bring out right now, you know, with it being summer, although you wouldn't know it looking outside. It doesn't feel like summer, but I guess it's kind of just a summer song. It's one you can dance to and also cry.
Mm-hmm.
So you could crance to it.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Good word.
Yeah.
And you did a music video as well.
I did.
And like Alex and I, we heard the song, and Alex just said while we're listening to the songs, to the song, I feel like driving a car when I hear the song. And that's basically what you do in the music video, right?
Yeah, it feels like a driving song, doesn't it? Yeah, it feels like you could, you could just hit the road and play that. It feels good in the car, actually, when you listen to it in the car. But yeah, in the video, I'm in the car trying to doing my best to look cool.
What car is it?
It's a Cadillac, I believe. Ooh. Yeah. I wasn't actually driving it, though, fun fact. It was on the back of a truck, and because the camera had to be in my face, and then I couldn't really, it wasn't safe. But I had a police escort in Nashville basically take me around the motorways in this car, and it was like locals were looking as if, you know, something crazy was going on. But it was good fun.
Right.
To make, yeah.
But for the video, you didn't ride the car, but did you after or before? Like,
no, I
would like to drive a Cadillac, yeah, actually.
Me too. I don't actually think there was wheels on the front of the car.
Okay.
Just on the back so they could drag it. But yeah, maybe I shouldn't have given that away, but yeah.
Okay. So talking about music videos, I have to say, I'm a really big Potterhead.
Are you?
And I saw in the
like
song Empty Space.
Weed?
No, not pot.
I'm only joking, I'm kidding. No, I thought you meant pothead.
No, okay. Potter, like Harry Potter.
Yeah, okay.
And in the video of Empty Space, Tom Felton is in it.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to ask you, are you a Potterhead or?
I don't think I can say that I'm a Potterhead. I have seen a couple of the movies, but okay. I'm not, I might be a pothead. But I'm just kidding, No, but I am not a Potterhead, no. I appreciate that. I've read the first book and I really appreciate it, but I've never actually, it's the same with Star Wars, is I've been meaning to sit down with my pal, and we keep saying, like, we're going to watch all the Star Wars and we're going to watch all the Harry Potters.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we just need to find enough weed to smoke to watch them. I'm kidding. I'm joking. So that's it, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned your new album coming.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that a little bit more.
Mm.
Like, do you know when it's coming or?
I do. I don't know if I'm allowed to say. Am I allowed to say when the album's coming? Yeah, it's going to be like in the first few weeks of 24. So I've got a few more singles to share with everyone. And then we'll be putting out the album probably in January, I think, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So brand new information for us today.
Exclusive.
Nice. And what will the other songs be like? Is it the style of Blindside, or will there be like more slower songs, or maybe rap songs? Because I know you like to rap as well.
This one doesn't have rap. It's kind of like I was inspired by a lot of Americana style music. I was listening to Springsteen and Ryan Adams and people like that before making this, and going back into like the Britpop stuff as well, like Stereophonics in particular, a band that I grew up really loving. And so it feels like half of this album, the more up-tempo songs like Blindside, and there's songs, a song called My Favorite Pill and things like that on the album that I feel like kind of indie rock and roll type songs. And then the other half is like me doing like the thing that I think everyone, you know, most people expect from me, but elevated, you know, to another level with the ballad, acoustic ballad type stuff. So it's kind of half and half sort of thing, this one, yeah.
Maybe some collabs planned, you can tell, or?
Say it again, sorry?
Do you have some collaborations planned?
Oh, collaborations? Yeah. Oh, well, I can't tell you that. That would be slightly too much information.
Why not? But, okay, so maybe you can tell me which one you would like to, because I just read you would like to do some with Jay-Z or Eminem. You said that once.
Yeah.
Is it still that, or do you have any other artists you want to work with?
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, I definitely always like, one of my dreams would be to get on a record with like a Drake or an Eminem or just those heavyweights in rap music. Because like for fun, I'll listen to, like in the gym or whatever, I listen to hip hop and I love that stuff. But yeah, in terms of like where I am right now with the kind of more singer-songwriter stuff, I mean, there's a lot of people I'd love to collaborate with. There's so many. I guess with this new music, probably the ones that stick out would be probably like just maybe more country people. Maybe like Taylor Swift or something would be a cool duet to do, I suppose. Yeah, I can't even think right now.
Nice. Yeah. Taylor Swift would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be cool, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we got the new song, the new album. What are your plans for the year, for the future? What do you say? Like in your career, maybe first?
Well, I mean, I suppose that, you know, like I was talking with my mates, like the people I'm here with the other day, and we were talking about my goals and what I'd like to do, and I think I still have quite simple and traditional goals in terms of music. It's like I'm very fortunate and lucky that like my streaming stuff is like off the scale. It's amazing. I'm having songs that I brought out 5 years ago that are like, you know, kicking off. But I grew up like admiring, you know, icons that were on the radio and had heavy airplay. And so I'm not just saying it because I'm at the radio station right now, but yeah, I think I would love to have a couple songs be blasted on the radio again, like heavy rotation. And yeah, just have hit songs in a traditional sense again, rather than, you know, the typical, like, you know, hundreds of millions of streams, which is great, but, you know, yeah, I guess I wanted to be on the radio.
Yeah, I would love so as well, because, like, really, like, Blindside, I loved it. Like, I would really love to hear it, like, every day here.
Yeah, well, let's hope so.
Yeah. And, okay, maybe one more question. What are your plans for the future for yourself, not your career, like you, James Arthur?
Well, I want to probably want to get in some better shape before I go on tour, because I've got a bad knee, and I'm going to be like hobbling around the stage, so I need to get myself strong again.
What happened to your knee?
I insist on playing football with an injury all the time. Like, I'm always playing football. I love playing football. But yeah, probably that. I mean, personal goals, yeah, to continue being a good dad, raising my little girl, and being happy and healthy. Very simple goals. And
the most meaningful.
And then outside of that, it's just, you know, take over the radio with my music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I wish you a lot of luck for that. And thank you so much for the interview.
Thank you very much.
Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Das Video und noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de.